This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In 1973, an R&B star by the name of Gladys Knight put out a song. And the song simply says, "You're the best thing that's ever happened to me." Now, I know that a lot of you don't know that song, but I think a lot of our faculty and staff probably have heard it maybe once or twice. But she simply tells the person that she's in love with that you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. A gospel writer by the name of James Cleveland came along and he said, "You know, I can't really sing that to a person, but I can sing that to my Savior." So he rewrote some of the lyrics of the song and he simply said it this way, that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I want you all to know this morning that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And if you agree with me this morning, I want you to just simply say, "Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me." In the book of Hebrews, I think the writer of Hebrews, whoever it may be, whether it's Apollos or Barnabas or whoever it may be, some even will stretch the imagination and say it's Paul, even though it doesn't have a Pauline thumbprint, will say it's Paul. I think the book of Hebrews is reminding us that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything else. For those that are reading the book of Hebrews, some Judaizers, some that have trusted Christ, but some may be shaking in the faith. Maybe it's through persecution or through suffering. Maybe it's through some false teaching in the church. Some attempted to stay with Judaism, to not fully trust Christ as Savior and Lord, not understanding that Jesus is better. You know, persecution has a way of shaking up some things in us. Suffering has a way of shaking up some things in us. Sometimes false teaching has a way of really shaking up some things in us. In our text this morning, the writer of the book of Hebrews is just simply reminding us that above all things, that Jesus Christ is better. He's better than anything. Some were even struggling with doubt along the way. And even when you come into that place with the Lord Jesus Christ, where doubt even shows up, Jesus Christ is better. You know, I want to remind all of us this morning that Jesus Christ is better. He's good. He's chief. He's the supreme one in the universe. He wasn't elected or selected. He's always been on the throne. Jesus Christ is better. And in this introduction, these few introduction verses to the book of Hebrews, we should gain some strength, even if we're going through moments of doubt this morning, even if we're going through moments of suffering or persecution, even if we've been listening to some false teaching, we should come back to the reality that Jesus Christ is better. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. It reminds us of his, first of all, his person, and second of all, of his priesthood. When you look at his person, look at the slide here. When you look at the person of Christ, he's better than the prophets. It reminds us, secondly, that he's better than the angels. When you look at the person of Christ, it reminds us that he's better than Moses. Who can be better than Moses? It reminds us that he's better than Joshua. And that's just the person of Christ. He's better than all of these folks. But when you look at the next part of the book, in his priesthood, notice what he's better than. He's better than all the qualifications. He's better than the order. He's better than the covenants. He's better than the atonement itself. Didn't use the blood of a lamb, blood of goats, but he used his own blood. Jesus Christ is better. Amen? Amen. Look at the text, if you would, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who has appointed heirs of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The word of God for the people of God. You know, God has always been talking to us. And the Bible says here in verse 1, that in previous times, he's spoken to us in various ways and in various times. In Isaiah chapter 6, he spoke to Isaiah through a vision. And in the year King Uzziah died, the Bible says Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he saw God in a special way on that occasion. In the book of Genesis, Jacob saw the Lord in a dream. God visited with Jacob in a very special way. And as a matter of fact, Jacob even had on one occasion the chance to wrestle with God all night long. The Bible said he wrestled with him so long until the Lord broke his thigh bone and he went away with a limp, but his name was changed. The Bible tells us that he met with Abraham and he met with Moses in person. And Abraham, he met with him in his tent. With Moses, he met with him while a bush was burning and yet not consumed. God, in various ways and in various times, he has spoken to his people. But God is doing something special here in Hebrews chapter 1, because here's what he says. Even though he's spoken in these various ways in various times and times past, now God decides to send his Son. Now, look, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And when you see this whole idea of God speaking to us by his Son, you know it's something special when, in the Jewish context, when you send your son. Not only is it his son, it's his firstborn son, his only begotten son, his one-of-a-kind son. It's his exact representation. God sent his son so we know exactly what he was like. God sent his son so we couldn't get the meshes mixed up. God sent his son so we know who he is. God sent his son. So he tells us here quickly that even though the prophets have been speaking, that he's better than the prophets. Even though they had a message, he's better than the message and the messengers, because Jesus is on the scene now. God sent his son that we may hear from him. And here's what it tells us in our text. First of all, he appointed him heir of all things. In our text here, you can't hardly miss this. That God has appointed his son heir of all things. His future and his destiny are clear. That God has appointed his son heir of all things. That his son is so important. His son is one of a kind. His son is so begotten till he's the heir of all things. But it doesn't just stop there. Secondly, in this verse 2, it tells us that he created the worlds. That his son has been an agent of creation. The one whom God has used to create the worlds. John chapter 1 verse 5 reminds us that God created the worlds. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 and also verse 16 reminds us that he created the world. That he was the firstborn of all creation. That he has the whole world in his hand. Because he makes the whole world. That he's an agent of creation. But then it reminds us in verse 3, if you're still looking at your text, he says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. It reminds us in verse 3, it kind of lets us know, if you want to know God, you got to know Jesus. Because Jesus radiates God's glory. He radiates God's brightness. He radiates God's splendor. He's the exact representation of God. It doesn't get any better than that. He's the exact imprint. He's the stamp. He's the engraving of God's essential being. He's the clearest picture of God that we have. If you want to know what God looks like, simply look at Jesus. Then you'll know who God is. You want to know what his character is like? Just look at Jesus. You want to know how loving God is? Just look at Jesus. You want to know how much he cares for us? Just keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the exact representation of God. And you know what? Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who sent his son as his exact representation to us, so we know exactly who he is. But here's this next phrase in verse 3, who says, upholding all things by the word of his power. It kind of reminds us that he sustains all things. Here's a special note to all of us this morning. You haven't been keeping the world together. God has. You haven't been sustaining your life. God has. You haven't been keeping things together. God has. And somebody ought to say amen this morning, because it hasn't been me that's keeping things together. It hasn't been you. It hasn't been your parents that's been keeping things together. It's only God that's been keeping things together. And the thing I like about this is because the phrase that he used here in verse 3, he's upholding, he's sustaining all things by the word of his power. If God just speaks a word, everything can be sustained and held together. Sometimes, I have two daughters. One of my daughters, Adriana, she's 16 years old. And my other daughter, Savannah, is 14 years old. Those that know a word of prayer, please pray for me. 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. And sometimes I call them, I'm out late, and I'll call them and I'll give them particular assignments that I want them to carry out before I get home, and I'll call them up and I'll say, if you don't mind, do X, Y, and Z before I get home. And they'll both respond, no problem, Daddy. We'll have it done before you get home. No problem. And I'll say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to have it done before I get home. And it never ceases to amaze me. I have two daughters. They always have needs. And one daughter will say, the oldest daughter, she'll say, Daddy, if you don't mind, when you get home, I need some money. And I'll say, how much do you need? She said, well, $10 should take care of my need today. And I said, well, I'll give you $10 if you take care of X, Y, and Z. My youngest daughter, she skips right over $10. She goes right on for the $20 or the $50. She says, Dad, I have a need too. If you would, you know, bring me $20 or $50, you know, that will take care of my need. And I'll say, Savannah, I need you to really do X, Y, and Z if you need $20 or $50. And she said, Dad, I have it done when you get home. And I say, praise God, I have some wonderful kids, and they'll have it all done when I get home. And an hour later, hour and a half later, I arrive at the house. And how much of that stuff do you think they have done? Absolutely nothing. And I walk in the house, and I'm disappointed. And I look at them, and I say, what doest thou this? Why couldn't you have, I sent my word, why couldn't you have gotten it done? And they said, well, Dad, what had happened was my favorite television show was on. And the other one said, well, a boy called me, and I had to talk to him because it was getting late, and I didn't want him to think I wasn't interested in him. But I'm not interested in him. I'm interested in what I told you to do. It just gets all messed up, and I'm upset by this point, and I want to put him on punishment. And I said, girls, please stop whatever you're doing and do X, Y, and Z. Please do it right now. And they say, yes, Daddy, we're going to do it. And I'm about to retire to my bed. And they said, Daddy, before you go to bed, you know that $10 I need? Can I get that $10? And the other one said, well, you know, I needed $20 or $50. Can I? And I want to say, I can't give you anything because you haven't done X, Y, and Z. But when I look at them, they look just like me. When I look at them, they act just like me. And I find myself going for my wallet time and time. I don't want to go for my wallet, but I find myself going for my wallet time and time again. And I'm blessing them even though they haven't carried out all of my orders. isn't that just how God does us from time to time? He tells us if we want his favor, if we want his blessing, why don't you do X, Y, and Z? Why don't you do exactly what I'm telling you to do? But instead, we do just a portion of it. We do half of it. But when God shows up and he holds us accountable for what he's called us to do, we say, Lord, we haven't gotten it done. Maybe it was a relationship issue. Maybe it was an entertainment issue. But Lord, if you don't mind, still bless me. And you know what God does? He looks at us and he said, you know, they look just like me. And he finds himself blessing us in spite of us because he holds everything together by the power of his word. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's been holding things together from the beginning. Even when we haven't been good to him, he's been good to us. I need an amen right there. Even when we haven't been faithful to him, he's been faithful to us. Even when we haven't done everything that we're supposed to, wait, I may be in the wrong crowd because you all look like you've been doing everything you're supposed to do, but I know I haven't been doing everything that I'm supposed to do. But God is still a gracious and good God, and he still holds all things together. And if anybody's like me, why don't you just say amen? That's the kind of God that we serve. He holds all things. He's better to me than I've been to myself. And he's better to me than I could ever be to him because he holds all. But that's not everything it says here. That next phrase that I find in verse 3 really does it for me because he says, when he had by himself purged our sins. That's what the text says. When he had by himself purged our sins. You know, I thank God that he's a high priest for us because he alone has forgiven us. He's purged us. He's cleansed us. He's washed our sins away. What can wash our sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I thank God for his cleansing blood. It doesn't matter if it was a little sin. It doesn't matter if it was a large sin or extra, extra large sin. Thank God that his blood, his power, his grace can handle every sin. Now, some people, if you sin before them, they will write you off for the rest of their life. They will say, you sin and you're done. You know, some folks, if you hurt them, you can apologize until you're blue in the face. They'll say, I will never forgive you. But thank God for Jesus today. Because he, because of his blood, because of his sacrifice, there is not a sin too great, not a sin too small that his blood cannot cover. And he's forgiven us for our sins. You know what? I thank God for that because I still have some sins that he's still working out in my life. And I know. Somebody say, well, why are you teaching here? You're a professor. If he's still working on your sin, you ought to be perfect. I don't mind saying that before you all because he's still working out some sin and your life as well. God is still purging us and he's cleansing us with the power of his blood from sin. My grandfather and I were working one day on a house. We were getting it remodeled for some new tenants. We got to the house and we found out that there were some tenants already living there. We were trying to remodel the house for some new tenants, but some folks were already living there. And when we didn't know that until we arrived that day, knocking on the door, turned the key. And when we got in there, we found out that Mr. and Mrs. Roach had already set up shop there. Matter of fact, they had invited their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Y'all get the point, don't you? The place was covered with roaches. And my granddaddy said, you know what, I wish these roaches would just leave. And I said, granddaddy, I know what we can do. We can just go down to the hardware store and get some deconfogger. Let's bomb these boogers, get these boogers out the house so we can go on and get our new tenants in the house. And my granddaddy went outside and he sat on the porch. And he said, you know what, this is one of these days I wish I could speak roach language. I wish I could speak to them and tell them what's about to happen. I wish I could tell them that, hey, if you don't leave, we're going to have to do something. He said, but I don't know how to talk roach language. So the only thing I can do is bomb this house and kill all of these roaches. You know what? When God was up in heaven, we couldn't quite understand everything he was trying to tell us. So God decided to wrap himself up in flesh. He did not cease to be who he was to become who he is. He just took on flesh and he came to heaven, from heaven to earth, to be here with us so he could speak Roach language to us, so he could speak a language that we could all understand, so that he wouldn't have to bomb us, so he could speak to us in a way that we could all understand. And thank God for his grace, thank God for his mercy, that he came and he lived. After 40 and two generations, he came at the perfect time so we would understand him. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross. Why? So our sins could be forgiven. So our sins could be purged. I thank God for his sacrifice, because he could have just bombed us. He could have just committed us to a devil's hell, but that's not what he did. We're here as a testimony today because of what Jesus did, because he came from heaven to earth to show us the way. And I thank God for Jesus today. The last phrase in verse 3 says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It tells us here, because Jesus has served as our high priest, kind of tells us that when he did his work, because he was sinless, because it was an acceptable sacrifice, that he was able to sit down at the right hand. If you don't think that's amazing, you ought to read the Old Testament. Those guys that were offering sacrifices in the Old Testament, they could never sit down because their work was never done. But when Jesus offered his sacrifice, he could sit down because it is finished. It was completely done. And the Bible tells us that he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And you know, I love to tell you that he stayed seated there at the right hand of God the Father. But I heard on one occasion that he got up and he stood up. I think in Acts chapter 8, when they were stoning Stephen because he was a deacon trying to preach the gospel in the community. And the Bible says that Saul was holding the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. When Stephen was being persecuted and when he was being killed, that Jesus Christ stood up and he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome home." Don't you want the Lord Jesus Christ to stand up and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome home." Well, in our text today, Jesus got it going on. He's appointed heir of all things. He's agent. He's creator of the worlds. He's his brightness. He's his glory, the expression of God. He's holding everything together. He's forgiven us. He's purged us from our sin. And he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But it doesn't just stop there. The Bible tells us, having become so much better than the angels, he's obtained. He has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. You see, in that day, some were worshiping angels because they thought angels were next to God. They thought angels were so celestial, until angels were the most important deity. Matter of fact, some even taught that Jesus was the chief angel. But you know what? He's not a chief angel. We know him as our Savior. We know him as our Lord. You know, he didn't just give him any kind of name. He gave him a name that's more excellent than their name. You know, if you call my name in certain places, it might get you a cup of coffee without the cream and sugar. If you call Rick Swift's name, you might get a hot dog if you got a dollar. But if you call on the name of Jesus, there's healing in his name. There's power in his name. There's deliverance in his name. Whatever you need in his name, you can find it in the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us a little later on that just for a little while, he makes him lower than angels so that he could taste death for all of us so that we wouldn't have to. So brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Before we go to lunch now, before we go to our classes, before we go and enjoy the rest of our day, has doubt entered your mind? If it has, I want to tell you that Jesus is still better. before you go on with your day, has persecution, has stress, has hard times made you give up on Jesus? Maybe you've gotten a difficult grade back this semester. Jesus is still better. Maybe someone has gotten a hold to a little false teaching. Maybe you've read the wrong book and you like that book rather than his book. I want to tell you that you can still count on Jesus, because Jesus is better. You know what? As I look at us today, there are many things that can go through our minds at various times. But as you go through the book of Hebrews, he reminds us to don't drift. Keep an anchor. Keep it deep. Keep your anchor settled in Jesus. Not just today, but for the rest of your life. Lord Jesus, I pray today for that person who's going through that bout of doubt that doesn't know their place with you, that doesn't know that you should be on the throne of their lives. I pray for that person today who's going through persecution, who's stressed out, who's suffering. It's almost the middle of the semester, and they're just going through so much, and they're ready to throw in the towel. Bring them out of that, Lord, knowing that you're better. Lord, I pray for that person who's gotten hold to a little false teaching. And I pray, Father, they don't give up. They don't give up on you, God. But they hold on to your unchanging hand, knowing that you're better. And you know, I want to sing the words of that gospel song, that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.